We now bring to these microphones David James, that time of the week when we get together for a conversation focused on an issue, a theological issue that may be confronting the body of Christ, the church. And David and I deal with it biblically for the purpose of helping you to understand how you can make applicable the information that we give to you. Well, we catch David in the Philippines on his first ministry trip of the year. How's it going out there, David?
Well, it's going great, Jimmy. I always love coming out here, and I'm usually here somewhere around 3 to 5 weeks every single year, and this is my first trip of this year, and I just finished teaching a course that I've taught for many years, Signs, Wonders, and the Charismatic Movement, and getting ready for next week. Well, I'll be teaching God's Plan Through the Ages for the first of about 6 times when I'll be teaching that course during 2018.
Well, that's great, and I'm so glad that you're able to be there, minister to those people. Give our love to all of them. I've met most of them when they were serving first here in the United States before they went to the Philippines, and the reports I have, this is a great ministry out there. By the way, David, the course you are just finished teaching is a topic that's always relevant, so I thought it would be good for you and me to discuss it during our time together this week. First of all, what was it that got you interested in teaching this particular subject?
Well, it goes clear back to 1984. In 1984, I was 26 years old, and our listeners can do the math on that one, but 26 years old and living really a rough life, not living for the Lord at all. I had a serious drinking problem. I was working as an engineer during the week, but I was playing in a country band on the weekends, and I was involved with all the lifestyle that you might expect in the bars and clubs, playing country music locally. And there was a friend of mine that I'd worked with for 5 years, and he had a nickname of the preacher. He was an old-time holiness Pentecostal preacher, and he had decided that I was his one-man revival meeting, I guess. And so he for 5 years, I just thought he was the world's biggest fool. But one day, the Lord used him to get a hold of my heart, convict me of my sin and my need for the Savior, and that I was on my way to hell apart from trusting in Christ. And so the Lord used this Pentecostal preacher, humanly speaking, for my salvation. And so I was under his influence for a long time, but I started attending a good, solid Bible-teaching church that was not Pentecostal or charismatic. So in my first year, I really wrestled through this subject to try to come to a biblical understanding. And that's really where I got started back in 1984.
Well, that's a good start, and praise the Lord for your salvation. Great testimony. Thank you so much, David. You know, in light of that, it may be good for us first to explain what you believe about the miraculous sign gifts of the Spirit, and then we'll move on to why you hold to your position biblically.
Well, after many years of study and teaching on this subject, over 30 years now, I've come to believe that the biblical position is that the miraculous sign gifts of the Spirit, which would include speaking in tongues, the gift of prophecy, words of knowledge, healing, casting out demons, those things that involved the miraculous operation of the Spirit, that those ended in the first century during the apostolic era, and that they had completely ceased either with the death of the last apostle or the death of the last person who had been personally in contact with an apostle, because it seems, the biblical evidence seems to suggest that in order for someone to have received a gift like this, it may well have had to come through the laying on of hands of an apostle or close contact with an apostle. And so I believe that they were for the laying the foundation of the church, so that they are currently not operative, although I do believe that there will be a time when the miraculous will begin again and become more commonplace during the tribulation period.
David, there are probably a number of different ways to approach this particular subject, but what do you think is the best way to deal with it? And what do you think is the strongest biblical evidence for the sign gifts having ceased in the first century?
Well, one of the things that you find when you're talking with someone who believes that the sign gifts are still in operation today, they will point to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, which says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they will suggest that because of what was happening in the first century, that that will continue forever because Jesus doesn't change. And I would say, I agree, Jesus doesn't change, but we shouldn't go back to Acts chapter 2, but rather we should go back to Genesis chapter 1, since Jesus was the creator, and he is the one who operated miraculously on the earth and gave the miracles throughout all of history. So we start in Genesis and then take a dispensational approach, and we see that there were periods of time in history where there were miracles, beginning especially with the flood, then the Tower of Babel, then the time of Moses, then the time of Elijah and Elisha. These are major periods, and they were long periods where there was very little prophecy going on, and there was especially very little miraculous. And what you find is that there was another time then when Jesus and the apostles were on the earth, and then once again during the tribulation period in the future. So there are long periods of time where there's very little miraculous activity, and then you see this biblical pattern. And then as far as the evidence for us now being in one of those periods of quiet, of little miraculous activity, and certainly not the sign gifts in operation, is one, this the pattern in the Bible. And then if you look at the purpose of the sign gifts, it was for laying the foundation through the apostles and prophets, foundation for the church. And then the third thing would be that if you look at Paul's ministry in the 60s, he left three people sick that apparently Paul couldn't heal, and that would be Epaphroditus, Trophimus, and Timothy himself. So apparently they were slowly being withdrawn by God even as early as the 60s.
Well, and the 60s, of course, you're talking about first century, 60 A.D.
Right.
Okay, yes, that's, I want to clear that up, make sure we're not talking about 1960. A lot of activity relating to this particular subject going on during that time as well. I would imagine that as a student in some of your classes, there would be some great surprises coming to your students from the teaching of the Word of God. And now you've studied it for 30 years, but as you're presenting this information to your new students as you travel across the world, what are some of those, and maybe the greatest surprise to your students as you work through this biblically?
Well, I think the greatest surprise to my students, who are largely not charismatic, although some have a charismatic background, is actually the purpose of signs and wonders. And as I noted, you have long periods of time when there's very little miraculous activity, and then after a period of very little miraculous activity, then there's a burst of signs and wonders. But those periods of signs and wonders are almost always associated with judgment. So the miracles don't start and are not a source of blessing. And the questions I ask, do these periods of signs and wonders involve judgment or blessing? It involves judgment. Does it involve belief or unbelief? It involves unbelief, faithfulness or unfaithfulness, and it's unfaithfulness. And it does life get easier or harder as a result of the miraculous? And what they find is they see that pattern. We think that miracles are a sign of blessing, but generally the biblical pattern is that they're not. And even when there is a secondary blessing, like healing of the sick, that there's a primary purpose, and that's frequently judgment. And then the other is the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that the teaching on tongues is an argument against it, not in support of it. And they find that 1 Corinthians 14, what the Bible says, is really almost 180 degrees different than the position of the charismatic movement.
David, I would think the most well-known aspect of the charismatic movement is speaking in tongues. Let's take a moment and, if you will, briefly explain the purpose of tongues from a biblical perspective.
Well, when they started on the day of Pentecost, Peter quotes from Joel chapter 2 to explain tongues. The interesting thing is that Joel does not say anything about tongues, but what he's talking about is the day of the Lord. So then the question is there any place in the Bible that connects people hearing a language they don't understand, the Jews in Jerusalem and Judea hearing a language they don't understand, with the day of the Lord? And what you find is the first place is in Deuteronomy 28, and then Jeremiah in chapter 5 almost repeats verbatim what is said in Deuteronomy 28. And then you have Isaiah 28, which is quoted by Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, and it connects Jews in Jerusalem hearing a language that they don't understand as a result of judgment. And so the purpose of tongues on the day of Pentecost was a sign of judgment, and you can demonstrate that going clear back to Deuteronomy 28.
Very interesting evidence on the question I ask about tongues in these days, for example. Well, sometimes we get the question that if these things are not from God, then do we believe they must be demonic?
Well, I believe that there may be some of that going on, but in 1 John we read that there are three sources of temptation, and the greatest temptations that we face are to move away from a biblical understanding. And John says the three sources of temptation are the world, the flesh, and the devil. So peer pressure, I think, can lead to what we see, and also personal emotional involvement, and we can get carried away ourselves. So I don't think it's necessarily demonic at all. There are three possibilities for what we see today.
Okay, let's conclude then with this question. How do we see the present emphasis on signs and wonders fitting into the end time scenario that we find in the scriptures?
Well, as I noted, there are long periods of time with little miraculous activity by God, punctuated by a burst of signs and wonders. And we know in 2 Thessalonians 2 that in connection with the coming of the Antichrist, he will try to prove to people that he is the true Christ through false signs and wonders, and God will send a strong delusion that people might believe the lie, those who have rejected the truth. And so I believe that the present emphasis on what I believe are false signs and wonders, things that are not really from God, is actually setting the stage for a worldwide convergence for all of the religions of the world, and especially within the professing church, that were not true believers, but they are being set up to accept false signs and wonders, and it fits perfectly in the convergence moving toward the worldwide super religion of the tribulation period.
And the great sign that indeed there is a moment in history which seems to be very close at hand when the end time scenario of God's word is going to come to complete fulfillment. May I suggest this is a very important subject that we discussed today. Gave a lot of facts, a lot of scripture verses. You might want to go back and listen to this again. Go to my website, prophecytoday.com. Go to PTRN, Prophecy Today Radio Network. There you can find this conversation with Dave and re-listen to it. Take some notes along the way. Hey, David, had a great ministry out there in the Philippines, and we'll talk to you again next week from that particular location.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Always great to be with you.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I am going to take a look at the book, put it all together. How does everything we've discussed on the broadcast today fit into that end-time scenario in God's Word? That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.